Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing. This is the podcast brought to you by Peter Higgins at Conkers3 on Twitter and Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
Yeah, good, mate. Not bad at all.
Good, good. We are heading and starting into Twin Peaks podcast number 18, mate. And
Blimey, has that got to 18 already?
Got to 18 already. I want to thank all those people that have been listening to us. We've had some remarkable numbers for Twin Peaks number 16.
Yeah, it's been 17. Brilliant.
So thank you all for that. Thank you to our new listeners in the Ukraine, in Mauritius. Yes,
yeah, we're incredibly popular in the Ukraine. And none of us can.
And in Thailand.
Yeah. Thailand, oh, that's
Thailand, blimey. Yes.
Blimey, we're going far afield.
We're getting a lot of listeners in Bristol, so thank Bristol? You all.
That's my brother. Bristol. Yeah, that's my brother. He loves listening to me.
Is it you? Is it your brother? Okay.
It must be.
Yeah, so wherever you are in the world, thank you ever so much for listening. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your likes on Twitter.
And thanks for subscribing, because that's always a good thing as well. And obviously, if people subscribe, they get a sort of early warning that something's just been released.
Yes, they get a good heads up that, you know, we've got some new material there and there's more to listen to. So thank you ever so much. If you haven't subscribed yet and you're listening to for the first time, please subscribe going forward, and please give us some feedback if you enjoy what you have listened to, and please share it with others if you like it. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, and just sorry to labour the point, but if you are fairly new to it, then it's probably worth listening to some of the fairly recent podcasts that we've recorded, because we cover a lot more than just what is happening in the market at that time. We cover a lot of other educational stuff as well, so it's well worth listening to.
Absolutely. I mean, what we're doing on here essentially is to inform, educate and raise awareness of new investors, old, you know, experienced investors, the whole nine yards, really.
We're not here just gives to, different viewpoints, really.
Absolutely. And we're not here to promote stocks or give advice. We're just here to share information that we've seen. And you guys, ladies, you know, have to go away and do your own research. And whatever we say, whatever input we've given, it's your choice to go away. Make your own decision. And if you're going to make big decisions, go and see someone who's professionally qualified to give you advice on that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, we're just sort of saying what we're doing, and quite often me and Pete will be doing different things, but, you know, at least it gives a different view from people who are reasonably experienced and been around a bit and seen a few tough times, and that's often hopefully going to be useful to listeners.
Absolutely, you know, and Pete's touched on a fairly good point there, that we've got some of the time Pete and I have got completely different views on stuff. You know, when Pete's buying stuff, I'm usually selling. And when Pete's selling stuff, I'm usually buying. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, it may not be the same stock, but we've got different views on the market, which is why what we have to say sometimes is quite good, in the sense of, you know, we're giving different views. And unfortunately, sometimes in the market, people get caught up in groups and cohorts and they're all chiming from the same song sheet about a stock. And invariably, sometimes they'll be right. But unfortunately, sometimes I'll be wrong. So seek out different information to what you think about a stock. Don't be afraid of other people giving different viewpoints, and, you know, embrace it.
Well, that's one of the things. It's like when we talk about a stock and we give our thinking and our reasons, and we also highlight the risks and whatever of a particular stock, you know, listen to the reasons that we're given and why we're thinking that way, because that's how you learn from figuring out what really drives the prices.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit. We did our first podcast regarding the coronavirus on the 7th of February, and we published it on the 8th of February. So as a recap, let me just put some things
clear. That's about a month ago, isn't it?
So it's essentially a month ago. We're now recording this, and it's 15 minutes to 6 PM, okay, in the UK right now, on the 5th of March. The markets in the UK are shut, okay?
So it's Thursday the 5th of March.
Thursday the 5th, okay. On Friday the 7th of February, the FTSE 100 closed at 7,466.1, okay? The Dow Jones Index, yeah, which was still trading whilst we were recording, eventually closed that evening of the 7th at 29,105.1. 0.51. Okay, so that was podcast 16. We then recorded, having given certain warnings and concerns about coronavirus on the 7th, recorded another podcast on the 21st of February, and then the FTSE 100 was 7,403.9. Hadn't moved.
So it hardly moved.
Hardly moved. So it moved.
Hardly moved.
63 points. Okay. The evening of the 21st of February, the Dow Jones Index closed at 28,992.41.
Again, yeah, so same thing. Just
hardly
just
moved. Holding. Moved 113 points. Okay.
Yeah.
Today, we're now, as I said earlier, the 5th of March. We've had lots of volatility since the 21st and the 7th of February, okay? The FTSE closed today at 6,705.43, down 1.6%. We've had an intraday low occur on the 25th of February of 6,460, okay? So, from the first time we mentioned the coronavirus on the 7th of February, which was published on the 8th, the podcast, the FTSE, which is meant to be the most conservative of and slower moving of some indexes around the world, shaved off to its intraday low on the 25th of the 2nd 1,006 points.
So now, that must be about 14% or 13%.
It's a significant move.
Now, if you do close to the close, it's about 10% or 11% since we talked about it first.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So just bear in mind that the talk at the beginning of the year was all about, and I think even I got caught up in it, to be fair, of the FTSE 100 hitting 8,000.
Oh, yeah, okay? Yeah.
And you know what? We don't know what's going to happen to this market, and it might still happen. But what we're saying here is just bear in mind what's going on with what's going on around the world, not just in the UK, because we're impacted by other issues, okay?
Well, it's funny, actually, because I remember, right, when it was, you know, so a month ago, right, when it was 7,466 on the FTSE 100, I remember you mentioning the virus. I'm pretty sure it was that podcast. And I, at that point, was pretty bullish, and I just thought it's just going to be a minor thing. You know, it's just a localized Asian problem, bit of a problem on a ship. It, you know, it'd be like SARS, it'll be like MERS, it won't really get over here or whatever. And I remember in that conversation, you were saying, take a bit of risk off the table, you know, which is always a good idea. When things have done well, you know, just take a bit off. And I also remember, I'm pretty sure in that one, I said, you know, really, realistically, at any time the market could fall 30% tomorrow. That's always possible, and people never think that. You know, people always just, they're always bullish. Everyone always thinks markets go up, but they don't. You know, there are times when they absolutely kick you in the watsits. So yeah. Anyway, where were we?
Well, you're absolutely spot on, Pete. But this is what I'm saying about, we have to research, we have to look beyond what's on the tip of our noses or what's being told by the people that we look at.
Yeah, what's immediately
We follow the most on Twitter, because it's a big world out there. You know, we've got to open our horizons and listen to far more people, yeah, and do more research ourselves. So before we came on air, yeah, the Dow Jones Index was at 26,460, yeah? So it had moved by 2,700 points, and since the 7th it's had more than three plus and minus 1,000 point moves in that duration.
Huge moves.
Moves.
If I'm right, that I'm just doing the top of my head on an envelope, I've written down the numbers and stuff, that I reckon the Dow's down about 8%, and that's interesting itself, because I don't think that's much of a sell-off when you consider what's happening and what the likely impact could be, especially when you consider that the NASDAQ especially had some very rich valuations in it, really high valuations. So I sort of think the US markets have still got quite a bit to drop. That's my take on it. I might be wrong, but that's how I feel about it.
You could be right, Pete, you know, because you've obviously the US markets have been led for some time by the FANGs, yeah? and the vast majority of those are interrelated with what's going on in and around Asia, you know, in some way or other. You've already had profit warnings from Microsoft, and you've already had profit warnings from Apple in relation to FANGs. Yeah. And some people may not include Microsoft in there as a FANG, but it is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the largest companies in the world right now. So, you know, if they're coming across and saying they've got, you know, coronavirus related profit warnings, then you know that the smaller ones, as we said previously, are going to be impacted by that coronavirus. And an important point here as well for you ladies and gents that are listening, wherever you are in the world, and you'll find the relevant...
You're probably in Bristol, I reckon.
You'll find the relevant sites that are appropriate to look at and will give you a fair and valued sort of viewpoint on this. There was something I was listening to on the TV last night, and it was basically saying, you know, we've got the World Health Organization, and in the US, they've got the US CDC, okay? And that's where you should be going for your information regarding coronavirus. It's not on Facebook, and it's not on Twitter regarding all these different clickbait sort of people putting sensational headlines out there. Yeah. You, if you're in the UK, go to the NHS website and have a look at stuff. They're probably getting the least amount of traffic with regards to what's going on with the coronavirus.
The most reliable source.
And they're the most reliable source. Yeah, it's the World Health Organization. Go and look at what they're saying about the coronavirus, wherever they're talking about in the world. Don't go on these clickbait links, what are giving you sensational this and sensational that and weird sort of videos that have been put together about this, that and the other. Yeah, the truth is out there. Seek it from reliable sources. Otherwise, you're going to end up promoting someone's website and they're getting paid for advertising. Yeah?
And it's just a load of rubbish that isn't going to help you.
It's just a load of rubbish, yeah? So, you know, we've had companies declaring profit warnings. You know, I remember seeing a headline about, you know, one way to cure the coronavirus is to drink lots of alcohol. Well, that can't be true because we've had a profit warning from Diageo. I'm joking.
Although there is a theory that using alcohol would be the same as hand wash.
Yeah, if it's a hand wash, yeah. I'm being flippant. So if I'd profit warnings from Diageo, if I'd profit warnings from Standard Charter, HSBC, Cathay Pacific, obviously because of all the travelling that's not happening and not
travel's getting. From what I can tell, travel is getting hit quite hard.
It's getting hit quite hard.
And today, obviously with Flybe today, I mean,
today they've had the announcement of Flybe going into administration. This is a company that has struggled for a number of years and was rescued and now has gone into administration for the almost, you could say, for the second time in 18 months, you know?
I mean, you know, to be fair, we all know that Flybe was a turkey in terms of its business, but this has tipped it over the edge, and that's the point. You know, the virus is having such an effect that it's tipping things over the edge, so...
It is. So, you know, let's talk about a few positives here, Pete, for a second, right? Mm. A couple of companies, or some companies, that have done well over the past month, okay, include Huntsworth. Yeah, they've had a takeover offer. So that's why that's pinged higher. Something like, you know, a very significant premium.
Am I right in thinking that they do PR
media,
health
marketing, etc. Yeah,
but it's for a lot of health companies, isn't it? That's the point.
There's lots of different companies involved in that, Pete.
I thought they were really quite heavy. Oh no, sorry, I'm thinking. I'm sorry, I'm confusing it with Cello, CLL, which does
media company. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I want to shout out big congratulations to Battlebus on Twitter, who had that.
BB got it. Yeah,
he jumped on there and he got it, mate. Yeah, so that's a FTSE 100 company. That was it wasn't doing great for a good while, but it's profited him and it's up.
But this is one of the things, isn't it? Funnily enough, it was something I wrote a blog about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or something on my educational page.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people always talk about value stocks and growth stocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that distinction, because my problem with that is that you can have a growth stock that's still good value. Do you know what I mean? So I sort of hate the distinction. But what I sort of like have sort of thought about is that in a way there's sort of like three different stock types to my mind. And that is a growth stock, you know, which is probably what people would normally call a growth stock. So something that is just growing and growing, you know, the revenues are going up, profits are going up, blah, blah, blah. There's an income stock, which is very much a stock you buy because it pays you a nice dividend. So something like a Glaxo or a Vodafone or something, just a boring big company that pays you a nice dividend or whatever. And then you get recovery stocks, which are stocks that have been beaten up, but they're starting to recover. And those are probably my favorites. I absolutely love recovery stocks. Obviously, with MPAC, I've done that and whatever. But in a way, HNT was very much in that last group, where it was a company that had been really beaten up. But because it was beaten up, other buyers could see the value, and they've done a takeover for it. So it's been a fantastic recovery share in that sense.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of doing thorough research and not, you know, necessarily following the momentum stocks and the momentum herd in certain stocks, whether they be AIM stocks or FTSE, because when the momentum stops, like I said in the last podcast, it stops. You know, there's some significant stocks that are down 10, 15%, which have been very, very crowded trades and investments. So you're better off not being in those stocks when the music stops.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So you had Dejan. We mentioned that last time, Pete. That was a takeover. That was held by
Lord Audley.
Had Indivia, which has been up 29% over the past month. Genus, which is the animal genetics company, which provides farmers with genetics that enable them to produce animal protein.
Yeah,
that's up 17% in the past month. Gambling website.
Sorry, on those ones, INDV, they've not had takeovers or anything, have they?
No, it's just the space that they're in is doing quite well.
Yeah, and I suppose Genus, GNS, is that's what it does. I can't say it, mate.
I was already describing it. They produce animal protein, Pete, in the form of meat and milk. Mate, they do other things as well, Pete.
You'll be going on about spaffing things up against the wall. But what I think we can safely say is that GNS does bull semen. Let me just get that right. Okay. Anyway, lovely.
Okie dokie. Thanks for adding that bit there, Pete. Okay.
But that must be quite defensive, isn't it? Because, like, you know, people are saying that we're all going vegan these days, aren't we?
That's the thing that confused me, because a lot of vegan this and plant-based that, and then that's doing so well. So it's quite intriguing. I think probably...
Is it plant semen?
Well, probably because, Pete, when you think about it, is the countries that require that may have had some sort of meat protein, other sources of things that Genus does from China.
Probably
not going to be using the China stuff and trying to get that from Genus elsewhere.
Mm. So that's. I think the thing with Genus is that they are absolutely dominant in their market. You know, if you're a farmer and you have cows, you go to Genus to get your stuff. Yeah, I can't.
We need to move on.
I so want to say it, but I can.
We need to move on. CMC.
Got five letters in it. Anyway.
Stop. CMC is up 15% across the month. Now, that's a gambling website. So, you know, CFDs and so on and so forth, and spread bets and all the rest of it.
Funnily enough, CMC is very much like IG Index, IGG, that I actually use as my spread bet provider. And I've actually got shares in IGG, and they've done pretty well since because the other one is plus 500.
They've done okay.
Which has also, well, Plus came out with some really positive update, and it said, you know, in this recent volatility, we're doing really well. And it made other buyers realised that IG Index was looking a bit cheap and CMC was looking a bit cheap. So they all seem to have benefited, and IGG actually broke higher and it's looking really good. So I'm well happy about that.
This is the thing, you know, you look at any gambling website and most of them will show the percentage of people that are bullish and percentage of people that are bearish and the percentage and the win-loss ratio for these sites. Now, these sites, the margins are staggering, you know, for most of these sites. And the number of people that are bullish most of the time are the ones that invariably feed into the profits of these companies.
Oh, yeah.
The volatility we've had since beginning of February, the vast majority of people that were long, as in bullish a stock on IG, got absolutely spanked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that absolutely will have done.
So they either got margin called or they increased their stop loss and increased it again and then finally gave in and capitulated and lost their money. So the profits all fall to the bottom line for the likes of IG and CMC and others.
Oh, absolutely. And the more volatility, the more trading, the more they make. So,
absolutely.
It's they're very happy with the arrangement. Obviously, with plus 500, we need to be careful with that one because it pays a massive dividend. It's something like 10% dividend or something, I think. I might be wrong, but it's something ridiculous. But it's Israel-based, and it has had some issues in the past, and there are some sort of question marks about it. So I think it's one where people need to use a stop loss or something because, you know, it's one of those that could potentially go very wrong, I expect.
Absolutely.
But something like IGG is just as solid as they come, really. And you know, it's that it invented spread betting. So, yeah. It's been around for like 30, 40 years or something. So about as solid as they get, really.
Yeah. So that's where we are with, there's another one called, is it Syncona, Pete? Have you heard of Syncona?
Oh, right. What's that one? S-Y-N-C. Think it is, isn't
S-Y-N-C,
it?
Y-N-C, yes.
Yeah, what was that?
That's done quite well over the past past month or so.
Oh, is that one that invests in like other medical companies or something?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've never really taken much notice of it. I know of it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what they're up to. So
that, well, I've done well on TSTL, TriStat.
Yeah, that's done quite well.
Although today it got absolutely spanked when I last looked. It was down like 10% today. But
it's had a good run, Pete. Someone
it's been amazing.
Had to take profits at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it does. We mentioned it on podcast the other day, so I won't go back too long. But it does, well, the main one is for cleaning endoscopes whatever. It's like, sterilizing and whatever. And it also does hand gel and stuff and all that. And obviously that's, that's why people have been buying it like crazy because of the link to the virus and things. Mm. Yeah, whether the earnings are really going to justify that, I've no idea. But at the moment, it's got momentum. It's been going up and I'm very, very happy holding it.
Yeah, this is the thing. I've seen quite a lot of tweets and various news flow coming from, highly regarded websites and TV programs talking about people going out and bulk buying hand sanitizing, bulk buying toilet roll.
They reckon all the shelves were cleared. Yeah. They had on Jeremy Vine today on Radio 2, which is always a bizarre program. They were on about bulk buying there. There's people on there are completely bonkers. Some guy spent like £200 on toilet rolls or something. I mean, surely. Don't they have newspapers in case they run out or something? I just find it absolutely wacky.
Yeah, there's lots of people. I'm going to use the other word, Pete, instead of the S word. I'm going to use the B word. There's lots of people bricking themselves. And
oh,
that's
yeah, well,
why
use
they're going out bulk buying toilet roll. Yeah,
maybe one of the symptoms of the virus is that you need lots of toilet roll.
I'm not sure, but on the downside of the past month, this is what's happened to some of the stocks. I'm going to mention this first one because it's a stock that I formerly held. Okay, Into-U Properties, which has got the Trafford Centre and other big Watford and so on and so forth. It's got
Into.
So this stock, Pete, was, a very large multi-billion pound company, yeah? And at the, 2018, there was a consortium of investors led by the then Into-U deputy chairman, right? And Mr. Whitaker. And he was struggling to close that deal with Brookfield, yeah?
Yeah.
Brookfield, he was former part of the consortium of Brookfield looking to push through a £2.15 deal. Right, and he was struggling to get this deal through, and I thought something doesn't smell right here. And I've spoken before about Attell. I think I was talking about Motive Bio the last time I spoke about Attell,
like and a signal.
Sometimes when you're trying to, through experience and psychology of the markets, you're trying to read between the lines of what's actually going on. There's no definitive stuff that you can say this is what's going on, but from experience you're reading the market. Okay. So this deal was a takeover at £2.15 and it was struggling and getting delayed and pushed back. And I thought, And I sold this stock at £1.94 on the 12th of November 2018.
Yeah.
On the 29th of November 2018, Whitaker and his consortium of Brookfield abandoned buying Into-U at £2.15. Obviously, the morning after that, the stock absolutely cratered.
Oh.
I'd already sold 2 weeks beforehand. I got lots of questions asked from about by other people saying, why are you selling at this time when there's a £2.15 deal on the table? And I said, just doesn't feel right. Something's not quite right here. You know what I mean? There's lots of talk about someone else coming in to bid for it. Could be another, you know, bid for it at a higher price, blah, blah, blah. And I went, you know what? I'm out of here. Today, it looks like they're going to be struggling to get any funding to go forward. And there's going to be lots of selling of this, selling of this, selling of that. And they may do a fundraise later.
There's going to be panic selling as well, isn't it?
Panic selling. But
the trouble is they've got retail property, haven't they? And it's like no one's going to want
it. Retail. And we spoke about this before. Lots of people going online. The footfall's going to be declining. But worse still, people, is that, you know, with this coronavirus, less and less people are going to go out shopping, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So the footfall is going to decrease slightly more unless this thing goes, you know, haywire and it goes big. Yeah. So, you know, it's had another profit warning today. Sorry, another sort of noise about the stock today in the sense of the fundraising and the difficulty to raise funds. The stock was offered up as a takeover offer in November 2018, as I said. I sold at 194. At the last time I looked at this morning, it was down 19%, and the stock was priced at 5p per share.
5p from what? Oh my lord! Yeah.
So wow. I'm not sure. You know, they've got a billion plus of debt, Pete. You know, nearer to 2 billion or something daft like that.
Yes, the classic problem, isn't it? It's like loads of debt, a business that is just, you know, evaporating in terms of its value and stuff. I mean, good lord.
Yeah. So you just got to be careful sometimes when these companies become value traps. You know, and sometimes, regardless of what people are saying, wherever they're saying it, do your own research and assess what the risks are. And if it's laden with debt, sometimes you've got to question where they're going to raise their next money and at what price or at what discount or whether they'll get a placing or a raise away at all. Yeah?
It's so, the classic thing that ties so many failures together, and it's almost every single failure, I would say, is debt. You know, it's nearly always big debt that kills them. You look at Flybe, big debt killed it. You know, always the way. And simply by buying companies that are net cash, especially when you're buying small caps, and by avoiding things with big debt, and you know, if you're going to get things with big debt, you want to have things that got really good cash flow. Like I hold Devro, DVO, yeah, the sausage skin people, and it's been a bit pig of investment. I'm not very happy with it, although it's had a good couple of days because its results weren't disastrous, and it pays a nice dividend. I mean, I'm getting like 6% dividend or something at the current price, so it's like, yeah, I'm happy to live with that. But the thing with them is that, okay, they've got quite a lot of debt. I think it's something like 1.9 times EBITDA, but their cash flow is really good. And that's, you know, you can get away with it if you've got really good cash flow and you're selling loads of sausages and it's a fairly stable business, fairly sausage skins, but it's a fairly stable business. But the problem with something like Flybe, it is so cyclical that if anything goes wrong, the revenue and the profit just completely evaporates.
Absolutely. And this is the problem. I'm going to go through a bit more of this list, Pete. There's another company that's laden with debt. And they've struggled, and financially they've just been in the wrong space at the wrong time. And again, they're going to be impacted by the coronavirus going forward. And that Saga, and they've actually literally been in a saga for the last 3 years.
They sold something today, didn't they?
I didn't see what happened today, but their stock is down 38% over the course of the month. You know, and that was, you know, sky high, you know, a while back. So yeah,
that one's a funny mixture of stuff because it does cruises and things, doesn't it?
Does insurance, ownership, like, plans for this, that, and the other.
After that Japanese ship thing, like, who'd want to go on a cruise at the moment? I mean, it's the last thing you'd want to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's done a trading update today, Pete, and the sale of the introductory care agencies. And,
yeah,
you know, that wasn't a positive update. It's down another 5%. Finished at 23p. And, you know, 23.3p. So I'm just looking for its peak price here, going back a little while. Yeah. So, you know, this was a £2 stock, Pete, and in May of 2017.
What do you say it is now?
It's 23p. So it's a tenth of where it was.
A tenth, you know, shocking.
Less than 2 years ago.
And the thing I never liked about Saga, apart from the fact that every day it would send me stuff telling me I was old, I mean, their marketing is like for over 50s. It's like, yeah, don't keep reminding me. I know. I'm not. It's not something I want you reminding me of.
I
So
never had you down as that vain, Pete. Crikey.
you know what I mean? It's just like it just drives you mad after a while. You think, why you keep telling me I'm old? It's like, I know that. I look in the mirror. I don't need to be reminded every flipping day. So, but you know, they've got like this weird mixture of like cruise ships and insurance and whatever care homes. And you just, what the hell?
You name it. If there's a service
What
for a
no
business,
focus?
they've probably got a finger in that pie. But the problem is that, you know, I'm including myself in this. We as 50-year-olds do not see ourselves as 15-year-olds, 50-year-olds. And
Exactly.
what was suitable
We're
to,
about 70, really.
well, what was suitable 50-year-olds in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, for some of those 50-year-olds were suitable. We don't see that as suitable for us.
We're all
We're
punks, mate.
more
We're all
savvy.
punks.
We're looking to do our own research for certain things, looking to find our own cruises. Well, probably not at the moment. You know what I mean? We're looking to find our own insurance. We don't need Saga marketing themselves to us to tell us that we're old. So we choose to shop
It's quite a
elsewhere.
strange sort of marketing model because by targeting yourself at the over 50s, you're ruling out a massive part of the potential market anyway.
Absolutely,
That makes no
absolutely.
sense to me at
Yeah.
all.
Let's get onto a subject that you do like then, Pete, right?
Oh,
So
what's that one?
Aston Martin, right? It's
Oh,
down
yeah, I like cars, yeah.
37% this year, right? Sorry,
AM
in this month, I do apologize, this month. And this is a
It's on.
stock that IPO then went to the moon, right? So it's over £19 at one stage, I do believe. And it's down at sub £3. It's £2.97 right now, Pete. Yeah. It's just
And again, it was loads of
nothing but
debt,
bad
wasn't
news for this company at all since it's floated.
it? Oh.
And again, it's laden with debt.
Laden with debt. And it was, you know, I remember reading a really good article. Phil Oakley, yeah, I think, is
Oakley
it?
nailed it right at the very beginning,
Yeah.
pre-IPO, he nailed it.
Is it at PJ Oakley, something like that,
Yeah,
on his Twitter?
at Phil J. Oakley. If you're not
Phil
following
J.
him,
Oakley, okay.
you should be following him. You should be listening to him because the beauty about what Phil does and what Investors Chronicle do as they as is that they write objectively about stock. There's no bias. Yeah, there's no filtering this and filtering that. It's about facts.
And they'll give you good and bad.
They write about the stocks the way that they do, and they do not own any shares in the stock, so they can be objective. That's the most important element. Be objective when you're writing about stuff.
With Phil, he wrote something like 4 pages about AML, pretty much when it floated in Investors Chronicle. And he's good, Phil, because okay, sometimes it's a bit heavy because it's quite accountant-y. Do you know what I mean? But he does look at everything in it, and it was really good report. And it was just obvious from reading it. It's like, well, this is going to be a complete turkey, isn't it? It was just so obvious. So, you know.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, the coronavirus is affecting trade. So, you know, in and movement. So you're looking now. I don't think we touched on this in the last two because it wasn't that much of a concern, but it's
Yeah.
becoming more so now. So there's less, you know, you're getting cancellations of events. We spoke about this on the phone, Pete. You've got the Grand Prix, the Chinese Grand Prix. Yeah, or as far as I'm aware, it's already cancelled. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. I picked up some weird stuff on the Formula One. They were saying they were considering cancelling 4 races this year or postponing 4 races.
Okay.
Then I heard another thing, and I couldn't quite understand this because it said the people who run Formula One have said they won't hold races in any country that bans people from other countries flying into it. And I'm not sure if that was like a politically correct thing or if it was. I don't know what they were getting at, or whether they were saying because there's a virus problem in these countries. It was a bit confusing,
Yeah.
but the point is, loads of sporting events. I mean, there's what is it, rugby this weekend or something?
You've got the England versus Italy game in Rome for March the 14th. That's already cancelled, Pete. Yeah,
Yeah.
you've got the Italian sports bodies are saying that all events are going to be essentially be behind closed doors, yeah, until April the 3rd. That's a month away.
Well, the
Yeah.
other one is the James Bond premiere
Yeah.
being delayed.
It's been delayed until November at the
And
moment.
that's an interesting one because I remember in the credit crunch, and I don't myself personally believe this will be as bad as the credit crunch, but you know, it has the potential to be pretty nasty. But in the credit crunch, Cineworld, C-I-N-A, did really well. And it was like quite defensive, and it was like people who didn't have a lot of money, but they would still go to the cinema because it was seen as a fairly relatively cheap night out, you know, and they still wanted to see films and whatever. But the worry this time is that even Cineworld may not be defensive because people won't want to go to cinemas.
Well, I was going to touch on that stock, mate. It went down today to £1.06. Okay.
And what was it a year ago?
It closed at £1.21, down 12, nearly 13%. And you know,
today
it was at £3.21.
There you go.
Back in May of last year, and it's at £1.21 now, and it's edging towards £1. It's got a lot of debt after that merger that they did.
Massive, Regal Cinemas.
This bond delays was one of its going to be one of its big revenue generators for the year.
Something
I wanted to touch on, Pete, and this may be something, and I'm not being flippant when I say this, ladies and gents. Okay, the title of the new Bond film, right? Given the current state of play and what we're talking about regarding the coronavirus, okay, and the number of deaths we've had in China and around Asia, the current title, or the title, is No Time to Die.
Yeah, it's not really going to match, is it, really?
I'm wondering, and I'm not being flippant when I say this, is obviously the timing's not great, yeah? Are they going to be asked at some point to change the title of that film? Yeah.
Well, depending on how long it goes on.
In places like Iran, where there's lots and lots of deaths, in China, where there's lots and lots of deaths, will they change the title of the film in those countries?
So that's intriguing.
Or any countries where there's a major outbreak before November, 2020.
Yeah, who knows? I noticed there was something else. What was that? Was it Disney streaming service or something? Which I think it's actually already launched, but I might be wrong. But they said there was going to be like a big launch premiere in London or something, and that's been cancelled.
And
it's loads. The London Book Fair was cancelled, and the Japan minister was talking about Olympics maybe being postponed, and they've cut down on the torch bit beforehand.
So
all this has a knock on. It's like, when they cancel a conference or something, there's the food companies that supply them, and obviously the hotel, all these things get hit, and
the restaurants, all those sort of companies that are interrelated with anything to do with group settings, group events, lots of people gathering together. Music concerts, Pete, that I know you like to go to.
They're
going to be impacted. If this is going on in the summer, what happens to the likes of things like Glastonbury?
Exactly. Because it's funny, I noticed today that Lady Gaga's just announced a 6-date tour, and it's like over the next few months. Well, I'm thinking, is that really a good idea at the moment? I'm not sure she's going to get many takers for that one.
Yeah, so there's lots going on, folks. And this goes back to what we were saying back in February. Look at the stocks that could be impacted in your portfolio. Yeah, the markets have been up and down and up and down in the past week and a half. People have been wearing neck braces. All those people that were uber bullish and saying, there's nothing to worry about, my stock's going to be absolutely fine, have been impaled in the market by the movements of the stocks that they thought, my stock's resilient, my stock's fine, I'm going to hold it for 5 years, I'm going to hold it for 10 years. The vast majority of people that you know and you admire on Twitter have been very, very quiet over the past week, 2 weeks about the stocks that they know in their portfolio are down 10, 15, 20%. They're not talking about that stock right now because it's down so much. Yeah. Once it starts moving back up again and the markets recover, they'll start talking about it again. And that's their choice. Yeah, they can do whatever they want to do and share whatever they want on Twitter. But I'm saying to you, right, do not rely on anyone else for your information. Do your own research.
Oh, it's so dangerous.
And assess your own portfolio now. Yeah, if you haven't done it in February, you've got to do it now. Yeah, because we don't know where the market's going to go. The market goes up and everyone's like, oh, this is just a thing that's going to pass. It goes down again, they go, and they're taking flight. Yeah, so all those people that are uber bullish, fine. I'm going to hold it till I'm 50. I'm going to hold it till I'm 60. I'm going to hold it for the 20 years. Fine. Let someone else do their own research and make up their own mind. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. Pete has his opinion. Let's all do our own research and have our own opinion.
Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, you know, it's important that when people put out their view on Twitter, we don't necessarily shoot them down and be overly aggressive about it or passive aggressive or whatever. We don't need to be. Do you know what I mean? It's like we can say, well, no, I don't know if you're right about that because whatever. And we can do it in a reasonable way. There's no need for everything to get so heightened. But the trouble is people get emotional. You know, it's like when you when you've emotionally and psychologically, you know, got yourself on a certain footing. So you may be uber bullish or you may be uber bearish. When things don't go your way, and especially when you're fairly inexperienced, your brain explodes and it's too much for you. Do you know what I mean? You just can't cope with it all. And it's like you don't have a plan. There's no flexibility in how you're operating. You need to sort of be able to sort of plan ahead and think, well, what happens if things do go wrong? What am I going to do? And keep thinking like that. You know, keep thinking, what if I'm wrong? What? Like me at the moment, you know, I'm a bit, I'm something like 20% short on the S&P 500, but I might be wrong. You know, the markets might suddenly next week decide everything's all right and everything shoots up again. And it's like, I've got to be adaptable and flexible to amend my positioning for that. And you know, if that happens, then I'll be closing those shorts and I'll be fine with that, you know, because I'm still massively long. So I'm not too bothered about it. But the point is, I've got flexibility in my approach.
And that's the beauty of experience, Pete. We keep talking and I keep banging on about psychology. And I know it causes a lot of people to switch off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important. And I keep talking about it. And the reason why I keep talking about it is because it doesn't really matter how educated you are. It doesn't really matter how great you are at writing a blog. It doesn't really matter how good you are at articulating your viewpoint. When the market serves up something that you're not prepared for, the most important aspect of your being is how you deal with that unknown thing happening and rearing its head, the thing that you didn't plan for.
And how you can stay calm. Yeah, how you can stay calm and rational. Because the trouble is, if you're not calm and rational, you will not make good decisions. You will compound your problem, if anything.
Absolutely. And this is why I keep saying to people when they send me all these DMs and they question me and sometimes are quite rude via DMs to me.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Yeah, I get it, Pete, because I'm not always going to be in agreement with everybody, because this is the whole point of having an opinion. Yeah, my opinion is not going to chime with everybody and their opinion is not going to chime with me all the time. But I try and have you never see me lose it on open Twitter, okay? Because I don't think that there's any need to do that, yeah? What you should do is have a discussion about something. And then if somebody can have a discussion with you, fine. When they start talking about you as a person and what they think of you, you know they've already lost the discussion, yeah? So then they're trying to break you down as a person.
Well, the thing that people don't think about when they lose the plot on Twitter, they forget that there's thousands of people watching them. And you know, all they're doing is giving themselves a bad reputation on Twitter.
Yeah, but the point is, Pete, and we touched on this, and I keep banging about psychology, it's about the emotion of, it's about money, right? There's some very wealthy people we know on Twitter, yeah? But despite of their wealth, they're greedy, yeah? Despite of their wealth, they get very angry or dismissive or passive aggressive when someone says something not as positive about their stock. Doesn't matter if that person's right, yeah? But they get very defensive about that particular company because they're overly wedded to that stock, they're overly leveraged in that stock, they're overly invested in that stock. It's the largest percentage holding there.
But and psychologically over in love with that stock.
Psychologically, they're already biased.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a brilliant quote that I put out today, Pete, and this is from Seth Klarman, okay? And I'll read this to you because I haven't read many tweets, many...
And Seth Klarman, he's the guy who runs Buffett's fund or something, isn't he?
He's been around for a long time, Pete. He was involved with Buffett at one point.
He was involved with Buffett,
So he writes this. While some might mistakenly consider value investing a mechanical tool for identifying bargains, it is actually a comprehensive investment philosophy that emphasizes a need to perform in-depth fundamental analysis, pursue long-term investment results, limit risk, and resist crowd psychology. So that goes back to Buffett's saying of thinking independently. That's the important thing about this market. Regardless of what Pete says, I say, anybody says, think independently and do what's right for you. No one knows what your risk profile is. No one knows what your goals are. And you don't know what the goals are or risk profile of anybody else that's writing, blogging, talking about that stock or that stock they're immersed in. So do your own research, ladies and gents.
And the different time frames and things, you know, it's like, you know, to a short-term trader, a particular stock might look a complete load of rubbish. But to a long-term investor who's in for years and years, a particular stock might look really, really attractive. So, you know, we've all got different time frames and attitudes and risk tolerance. I mean, one of the things that I think people are really bad at, and there's no doubt about this, is that people are very bad at judging their tolerance for risk in the future. So if I was to say, oh yeah, you know, in 3 months time the market could be down 50%, a lot of people would be like, oh yeah, well, I'll be fine with that, you know, it's not a problem, I won't worry about that. But I'll tell you what, in 3 months time, if and when the market was down 50%, people would go, oh my God, I hate this, and their brains would be exploding. It would just be nuts.
We've already seen it with the FTSE moving 10%.
Yes, it's moved hardly anything, and people are freaking out.
10%, 15% almost, right? So exactly. We've seen volatility in the market, and we've seen people losing the will. Yeah, people have completely lost it. Their tone, their behavior towards each other has changed because people are losing money. Yeah, and I know for some people it's very, very important that they don't lose money, and nobody wants to lose money.
Well, it's for all of us.
I don't want to lose money.
I don't want to lose money.
But the thing that should always be maintained is how you behave towards other people. Yeah, we've not really touched on this before, right? There's lots of negative stuff on Twitter. We've seen what's happened with Caroline Flack and being trolled and the stuff that went on there. And that individual was, for all intents and purposes, from everything else I saw before that, was a lovely young woman, 40 years of age, and she took her own life for the negativity. I'm not saying that's going to happen to somebody on Twitter because of an investment. But there's no need to be rude, aggressive, and troll people and be, you know, to use as a street word with the young people that I work with, to be rank.
To be rank.
Show a bit of kindness. You know what I mean? I put mindfulness tweets out, and I put thoughtfulness tweets out, and other stuff. And it's not because I'm trying to bore you guys and ladies about it. It's about the fact, think about somebody else. How would this impact somebody else? You know what? Because at some point or other, if you're going to go out there and be rude, nasty, and aggressive to other people, someone's going to come back and be rude and nasty to you. How are you going to take that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's like you don't like it when it's done to you, isn't it? It's that classic thing. Hey, mate, something I wanted to touch on and make sure we do include. With regards to the market at the moment, you know, it's so difficult to know what's going to happen. But it's pretty obvious that this virus thing is going to drag on. I just cannot see it being solved in a week or so. It's going to be around for months, I think. I mean, one of the things I picked up on today was that the UK government have said they've moved from the containment phase, where, you know, there were just a few small cases and they were tracking everyone that they've been in contact with and trying to clamp it down. They've now moved into the delay phase because they're getting more cases. I got a feeling I heard it was up to 7 or 9 that were actually new cases that had been contracted within the UK. You know, so they weren't people coming back from Italy or anything like that. It was actually caught from somebody within the UK. And they also reported today they've had the first UK-based death, which is scary enough, down in Reading, which is a bit too close to Windsor for my liking. Mm-hmm. But you know, up until then, I think there'd been one other death, but that was someone from that Japanese ship. So so as we get more of this kind of news, and the point was they've gone away from the containment phase, they've actually moved into the delay phase. And what that means is that they think, what the government is saying, they reckon 2 to 3 months' time will be when we see the peak of the virus cases, right? And then after that, it will start to decline. And they think the peak could last about 3 weeks. There were some other numbers, but the point is, this is going to go on for several months. You know, it's not something that's just going to blow over. And I think as such, it could drag on the markets for a while. And I think it's naive to think that it wouldn't. And to back that up, I'm driven very much by the charts. You know, I think about, you know, the sort of the fundamental background that's going on, as I've just described. But what I'm really focused on is the charts. And when I look at the charts, it strikes me that what they've done is they've had a big drop. If you look at the index charts, it's a big drop, and now they're chopping sideways. And I think that's a ledge before we drop down again and have another plunge. And hopefully I'm wrong and that doesn't happen, and that's fine if that's how it plays out. But I suspect we could be in for another plunge down.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Pete, because one of the things I noted from an article, I think it was the Daily Mail online, and it was only, I think it was a couple of days ago, it was yesterday's article, I think, and it was saying that the UK is the most relaxed about the killer coronavirus. This is the title that they've given it, of 10 countries, right? And the YouGov have done a survey of 21,000 people in 10 countries, but put Britain last in both the public fear and the likelihood of taking steps to limit the risk of getting the virus. Yeah? Which I find quite staggering.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that they reckon that the UK, because of the NHS and stuff, is the second best prepared country in the world for dealing with it. Which may or may not be true, but at least it's slightly reassuring, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You've got the World Health Organization just a few minutes ago is saying accurate information is a vital part of the battle against coronavirus. WHO have launched a new social media campaign called Be Ready for COVID-19, which urges people to be safe. The COVID epidemic is a threat to every country, rich or poor. We're calling every country to act with speed, scale, and clear-minded determination. We call on countries to activate their emergency plans through a whole government approach. So they're getting serious with it, Pete. They're getting serious.
Oh, it is. I was saying on Twitter, something that struck me is I don't think the US has really woken up to the problem at all. And, you know, they've only had like, I don't know, it's hardly any, what is it, like 80 cases or something. It's a relatively small number. But was it California has called a state of emergency and they're looking at testing 9,400 people or something. And I think they're bringing a million testing kits in. That might be slightly wrong, but that was the kind of figures that I was here. And I think once they start doing tests, they'll realise there's more of it in the population than they've sort of admitted to.
Yeah, the more tests they do, the numbers will go up. It's a bit like what happened to start with certain parts of China where the numbers are spiked that day.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a different format of how the data was collected, or, you know, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we're likely to see that happen, Pete.
In terms of the market and how it is likely to move, as I say, my gut feel is, it's not a gut feel, it's actually based on looking at chart patterns and stuff, is that I think, you know, we've dropped, we're going to go sideways, we'll probably drop again. Mm. But my point is on this, that we will have some flipping big rallies in between. That's typical of a bear market. You get some really powerful snapbacks. I mean, we had, was it 5% gain the other day on the Dow? I mean, that's a massive gain in one day. It's just mega. But next week, we've got the UK budget, where they're expected to talk about deferring tax payments for companies and stuff. So companies will be given more time to pay their tax, which will help their cash flow. And there's also talk, but it looks like it's going to be a couple of months away, for plans to help individual businesses that are specifically hurt by coronavirus. But they don't know yet what they're really going to do. I don't think it's all a bit ideas in Whitehall, and it hasn't really got much further.
Yeah, I've been doing some stuff down in London, Pete, the last couple of days, last couple
Oh,
of
yeah.
several months actually, but last 2 days
What's
was.
the Chancellor been telling you?
Well, I spoke to some people
What
who
did
know some
Boris
people.
say?
I spoke to some people who know some people, Pete, and one of the conversations that apparently could be happening is around stamp duty, you know, the Help to Buy situation.
Yeah.
So they've already said they're going to raise the actual Help to Buy to 600,000 pounds for a first, you know, first buy. Now, if you're buying your first house and you afford to buy something for 600K, I don't think you frankly need help with Help to Buy, but that's
Seems a
another
bit
story.
nuts.
That's another story. But one of the things that's been muted on and off for a while now is this thing about stamp duty. Now, obviously, the larger the house, the more expensive the house, stamp duty is a bit, it can be a bit of a deterrent regarding the purchase price and for the buyer, the seller, etc., and buying the next property. Now, with regards to the people I've been speaking to in London about property, they're of a view that something could happen regarding stamp duty. Now, will it be stamp duty regarding property only if they do something regarding stamp duty? And for us as investors in not only property but also stocks and shares, could there be something happening regarding investing and stamp duty regarding that? It's just
Oh
it's out there.
yeah, yeah.
It's
That's an
out there.
interesting point.
So
Yeah.
that could be some good news for property investors and also stocks, shares, funds, ISAs, blah blah blah
Yeah.
investors. I'm just sharing this, people. There's no facts in there. Go and do your research. But it's just some things I'm hearing muted. People are chattering about so on and so forth. I've got nothing factual to say about it. This is just
But
noise I've heard.
it ties into what I was saying about these powerful snapback rallies. When you get positive news like this come out, it could trigger a really powerful snapback, but I suspect most of these snapbacks are going to get sold. You know,
So
longer term.
some of them will, Pete, and it really depends. Once we see the decline of numbers or the decline of the number of new pockets of where this thing's happening,
Yeah.
we might see something. But, you know, having spoken to some significant people over the last month or so about all manner of different things, you know, my thoughts are that we could be here for a while, folks. I don't know how long, but the quicker we get some sort of cues regarding other countries, what they're doing, and some trials are tested for cures for this coronavirus, the quicker, the better, the less it will be impacting the markets. But be prepared. You know, have a plan A, have a plan B, have a plan C, and be prepared because we don't know how long you're going to be here. I mean, you've had one company come out today. A company that I've looked at many, many times, and it never seemed to go anywhere. But when I took my eye off the ball, it's done substantially well since, which is always the case.
Typical.
Spirent Communications, Pete, is a telecommunications company that's involved in 5G and next gen mobile networks.
Is
Yeah,
that SPT or something?
SPT, and that was up today significantly. It's up something like 16% or something daft like that.
Wow.
So it's had a really good spike because it's come out and said it's not impacted by the coronavirus. Yeah, and profits have surged. Yeah, so that's done significantly well. So
Yeah,
there's
there's some
some
really funny ones that you'd sort of think. Surely they would be affected at some point, but they haven't been. It is a very mixed picture I'm finding.
it's a mixed picture, and this is the beauty of doing your research. Find some stocks that could possibly benefit from the situation, like you did with Tristel, Pete. Yeah,
Well, I was just lucky that I held it.
well, you're lucky you held it,
Same
but
with IGG, you know, just
there's
lucky I had a
some
diversified
companies.
portfolio.
There's some companies out there that will do well out of this, yeah? And there's some companies that won't, yeah? And if you're uncertain, do some research into your portfolio, yeah? And have a look at what's going on regarding the stocks, yeah?
I was going to say the thing that I will be watching, and I'll be talking about this on tweets, no doubt. And I'll be, you know, every weekend, usually every Sunday night, pretty late, I put out a blog on my website that has, you know, loads of charts in it and stuff. And one of the big things I'm looking for is a bull cross on the 13 stroke 21 day exponential moving average, the EMA. At the moment, that is very much in bear mode. But once we get a bull cross on that, that's going to be the best signal you get that things might be improving. So that's something to keep an eye on if you look at charts and stuff. And I'll be talking about it anyway.
Yeah, it goes back to the psychology again, Pete. Technical analysis is great for keeping you, unbiased and objective regarding what's going on.
Trade what you see
Trade what you
rather than
see.
what you feel.
Yeah, and plan accordingly. The other thing really is just to look for some safe havens, if there is any left, uncorrelated to the market, which is what I've always tried to look at before, but that worked for a while and worked quite well until somebody came up and said, actually, we don't think Burford is actually Burford that we think it is. And, thankfully I sold out last year, but that's been going further and further and further down. So where's Burford going to end?
I think anything that's had a negative tinge for a while is probably gonna suffer.
It's
It's
gonna
just the way it is.
suffer. Yeah. So I'm not going to
But
mention
I think
the name of the stock, but today, I purchased some a gold related entity. So,
yeah, gold's definitely been on a rock, hasn't it? Just
I
me.
don't like buying miners, Pete. I'm not great with resources stocks. They never work out well for me, so I'm always a bit
Yeah, I
ugh.
know the feeling.
So, you've seen the date today. I purchased it the 5th of March. At some point or other, I'll tell you what it is going forward. I like my stocks to do their own stuff without any promotion, so they do their own stuff, so that when they announce some good news, they're there on good news, not on noise. So at some point or other, I'll tell you guys which what or ladies what that stock is.
Funny, can you remember, right, on one of our podcasts, and it was probably quite a few months ago, 2, 3 months ago, we had this discussion and we both said it doesn't make sense. Why is gold going up at the same time that stocks are going up? And funnily enough, gold was right.
Well, Gold was right, Pete, but somebody somewhere, didn't see the coronavirus coming, but they saw some other stuff coming, because a lot of people have been saying, look, the markets have run for a long run a course since 2008. Yeah, so we're 11, 12 years in, folks. We've had a really, really good run. At some point,
It's the longest.
I'm not saying take some off the table, but sometimes, whether it's a black swan event or a another event, markets take a pause. Yeah, so if you're in the market for a long time, we've all been through these pauses. We've all been through these things. Yeah. If you've been in the market for 30 years, you've definitely had a few swings on the market.
Well, if you've
Yeah.
been here 30 years, you've seen a few,
Yeah,
yeah.
quite a few. So, the people that have stayed in and averaged in and averaged down and averaged out and trimmed and bought and added and whatever have done really, really well. Those that have stayed fully invested all the time have done okay. You know what I mean? So, it goes back to what I've said many times on Twitter. I've never met a multi-billionaire trader. Yeah? A
Yeah,
multi-millionaire
be very
trader.
few of those around.
Yeah? But the investors, there's several multi-billionaire investors out there. Yeah? Because they know what they're doing. There's several multi-millionaire investors out there. There's not that many of them that do it by trading. There's some significantly brilliant traders out there that know their game, that know how to position size, that
There's
know
a
what the
very
risks are,
small number,
but they're
very
a very
small number.
small number. So if you're in it and it's volatile and you're trying to buy the bottom, or you're trying to buy sell the top in a share which you're trying to invest in, good luck with that.
It's not easy to do at all. Something on the market generally is just something that people just don't appreciate, and it's the same with a share price. The higher a market goes, or the higher a share price goes, your risk is increasing. And some people just don't understand this. And quite a lot, the risk is increasing and they're buying more. And it's like, well, no, as the market's rising, you should be starting to think, hang on, maybe I should be taking some out here because it's had a good run. We've just had a 12-year bull market or something, the longest bull market in history. Valuations were getting a bit stretched. You look at you've said it so many times, I can see stocks everywhere that are on forward PEs of 30, 40. That's too high. And it's especially too high when you suddenly got a crisis. So, people got to use valuation. It is a really useful tool. If you understand valuation, that it helps so much.
Absolutely. I want to share this story that I found on Mail Online, which I think is a fantastic story here. Just so I don't expect you all to go out digging in your gardens, but this is a really good story.
I'm impressed that you found it on Mail Online.
Mail Online, mate.
Is there actually something useful on there? Wow, I'm impressed.
Mail Online is a good source of information for me. I always find it a good website. So, a retired gardener dug up a 2,000-year-old marble bust of Alexander the Great at a country estate, and has sold it for £400,000. The 15-inch bust of the Macedonian conqueror was found in the grounds of a Surrey mansion once owned by the oil magnate Jean-Paul Getty. Yeah, so that was buried in the grounds of Sutton Place near Guildford. I'm sure you've been past there, Pete. Probably even walked over it.
Sutton Place, yeah, I might have rolled over it and tried to flatten the lawn a bit. Yes. I probably rolled over the head. Oh, no. So I could feel a lump when I rolled over it.
Andrew Kane, mate, a little marble statue. That's not bad, good, is it?
Think?
Oh, dear.
That's nuts. That is nuts. Mate, it's we've been going about an hour and 5 minutes or something. I don't know what you want to cover.
We need some positivity, Pete. So give me some positives about what's going on. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what, a flipping good positive is at some point, probably in a few months' time, there's going to be some fantastic opportunities to buy. And I'm really looking for when I get the signals that the drop is finished, and I'll be going long on indexes, and there'll be a lot of money to be made.
Yes, yeah. I think you've got a point there. I think the beauty of it is, Pete, is about the psychology again, being patient. You know, none of us need to try and call the bottom here, folks.
Yeah, and having a plan.
Plan.
We can't know where the bottom is now. We cannot know.
Where it's going to be. The market's going to keep going up and down and up and down and up and down. You know, we're being led by the US markets at the minute. Every time the market goes up 1,000 points, we're all going, yay, it's over. It's not. You know, until we get an all clear with this coronavirus thing, it's not over. So build up a list of stocks that you like. Build up stocks that were running ahead of themselves or doing really, really well, you know, pre the 5th of February, you know, did really well in 2019 and now have come off 5%, 10%, 20%. Build up that list of stocks. And then when we get the all clear, you've got lots of cash there to invest, you know. And if you haven't got cash there, you'll then, you know, we've gone past the beginning of April, you have a new ISA season. You'll have another 20K to invest in what stocks you want to invest in.
And obviously, you know, a lot of the income, you know, there's going to be some really good income bargains. I mean, already there's some good stuff appearing. So, you know, give it another few weeks or months of sogginess and they'll be looking really cheap.
Yeah, just keep an eye out of what's going on and keep a lookout, you know, for bargains. You know, I mean, I think I sold, we were talking a while back, Pete, about, I'd made the mistake of selling ITV down at £1.08, and then it rallied 50% and went up to nearly to 160. Today
yeah,
it's come out with and it's back down to where I'd left it a year and a bit ago.
Incredible.
You know, so you know, for those seeking bargains, at some point ITV is going to get it right and start. You know, the advertising revenue is going to increase and everything else is going to go absolutely bells and whistles. You know,
whatever hit today because of. Advertising from travel companies has fallen off a cliff.
Of course it will, because you know there's going to be less flights, Pete. Yeah.
And this is the thing about what we're saying, that it's like it's not just travel companies and, you know, airlines or whatever that are being affected. It's going to go much wider than that, because it hits onto things like ITV, and it's like, you know, when an event gets cancelled, that knocks on to a caterer, and then, you know, the caterer knocks on to the food supplier and the booze supplier and you know, these things knock on. And one of the things to appreciate is that it's not just a supply side shock. So it's not just that you can't get stuff from China. The problem is it's going to trigger a demand side shock where, you know, consumer confidence will be hit. And that then becomes demand side. So, you know, so that people just don't want to buy anything because they're being careful.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being careful, Pete. There's nothing wrong with being patient. Nothing wrong with just, you know, watching and not spending your time staring at the screen all day regarding the markets.
With stocks, if you're an investor, there's never a need to rush. If you're rushing, you're probably about to make a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the stock today, earlier on, Pete, that's done well today. And that was the collagen products one that you mentioned, that was Devereux. That's up.
Oh, DVR.
That's up nearly 6% today. So I'm not sure what caused that to pop today.
Wow. Well, it had pretty reasonable results yesterday. I think it was up 6-7% yesterday.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, really, it's fairly boring and defensive, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah. Right. Okay. I mean, to me, it's not a stock I've looked at for a good while, but it's, you know, it's not far off its lows. Its lows is what, 141. 52-week low is 145.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been made to do
that. That was achieved last week, Pete, the 27th.
Yeah.
It closed today at 168, up 5%. It's yielding 5.6%. So somebody might be, you know, interested in that.
It's the kind of thing it could be taken over because it's still quite a small company. So
yeah, well, this is
we'll see what happens.
We've had the coronavirus, and we've had two quite significant premium takeovers in the very, very small cap companies. You know, so yeah.
It's yeah, I mean, I'm holding it. I'm not sure if anyone should really rush into it, but you know, it's. I think it's. If people hold it already, then I think they'll probably do okay on it. You know.
Yeah.
A bit of patience.
Yeah, we'll finish on that, Pete. I think we're in.
Yeah, we better do, mate. We've gone on a while.
We've gone on a while, folks. Thank you ever so much for listening in to podcast 18. This is me, Peter Higgins at Conkers 3, and Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. Signing off on podcast 18. It's the 5th of March. We will see you guys and ladies in a little while. This should be going out on the 6th. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. Take care. Subscribe. Be kind. Look after each other. Stay safe. Wash your hands. And when you're washing your hands, don't forget to sing Happy Birthday twice. That's the now sequence.
Sing the national anthem.
Okay, ladies and gents, take care. God bless. Goodbye for now.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.